familyvaluesradio.net.
1010 KXXT.
Coalition, Phoenix.
At Beerenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is What's Up Phoenix, starring Chris Gray. Chris, we have some great guests today. We've been talking to since, about 2:30? And, of course, in studio, Julie Turco, Director of Corporate Relations for Easter Seals Southwest Human Development, and Doug Carter with, Executive Director for Upward Foundation. You know, so I'll lead off with a question. I know, Chris, you have some other questions. But it always amazes me. We've had a lot of people on our show over the years, on the various shows, and it really takes a special person to dedicate their lives for the betterment and helping and giving service to kids, to families, to adults. And I want to start with Julie. When did you find out that was your purpose in life? It sounds like that's what it is. Describe that a little bit for our listeners.
My journey into nonprofit was pretty directly right out of business school in many ways. So I have, I do have an MBA, but for some reason, maximizing shareholder value wasn't really all there was to it.
Right.
So it's a privilege, actually, for me to work with corporations and large groups that want to really make a difference in our community. It helps that I have a business background. I can talk to companies about what their marketing goals might be, what their internal communications goals might be, their team building, how they want to approach their corporate philanthropy and fundraising. But I feel like I'm just the conduit. I really have the privilege of working with an enormous number of people that want to make a difference in our community. So that's incredibly satisfying. But I also want to dodge the question, even within our own organization, because my hat is really off to the psychologists and the occupational therapists and the physical therapists and the speech therapists and the family support specialists and all the staff that we have that work with directly with children and families every single day. Those are the people really changing the trajectory of a child's life for the better. I get to talk about it with our community partners, but they're really the ones doing incredibly special work.
The front line.
Absolutely. So yeah, there's it's a little embarrassing even answering that on my own behalf, because as a parent, I certainly understand it. You know, I have a strong connection to children through my own experience of being a parent and the challenges that every parent faces. But there are parents who are in this community that have been faced with situations that they never really could have prepared for. No matter how educated you are, no matter what you have experienced before, life can throw situations to you that you will never be prepared for. And so to keep those families parenting well and functioning well, and to keep them from becoming overwhelmed and their children from becoming overwhelmed, I think is a huge service to the community.
And you came from the East Coast.
Yes.
Where about?
Oh, I'm a Jersey girl. So
New Jersey Nets, the Devils. I think in terms of sports all the time.
Well, back in the day, the year that the Giants won the Super Bowl and the Mets won the World Series, there was great celebration in my house.
You look way too young for that. That was a while back, right?
That was a while back. So I am giving away my age.
No, I can't tell. You look too young. Okay. Doug, same question for 10 points. No, same question. Basically, what the question was is how did you, when did you first realize this is so important part of life for you to be of service, to help kids that need help, to help families, adults? Why don't you describe your journey?
Yeah, I would say that I grew up in a challenged neighborhood, and we were fortunate enough to have services around the neighborhood, such as the Boys and Girls Clubs and the YMCAs. And so I got involved in some of those activities early on, both from an athletic standpoint, leadership programs, academic programs, et cetera. And it was really high school where I kind of, as a youngster, you're just kind of doing it. But then you start to think more about it and in high school and think about wanting to serve and give back to the community. And once I graduated from college and was back at the YMCA just kind of working out and staying in shape, it just hit me that this is where I need to be. And 6 months removed from college, I was on staff at the Y.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. I mean, Chris.
Well, I was going to say, so then having five children myself, I've always seemed to have a child going, what am I going to do in college? What am I going to go to college for, I'm sorry, is what I meant to say. And so the two of you, Miss Julie and Doug, your careers, that's kind of where I was getting to also at the break. Children growing up in that are at the college age, what type of degree, what type of education, what types of things would allow them to be in a position such as yours? And other than just, the volunteer, at St. Mary's Food Bank or at Upward or something like that, mm-hmm. How can they seek a career? What kind of education, what kind of background would they need from college to have a career like yours?
I would say the universities have really taken tremendous strides to establish nonprofit programs. I think the stereotype in years past was that nonprofits were somehow just a little less professional than for-profit businesses, but my experience has actually been the opposite, especially in recent years. Good nonprofits are run just like good businesses, but with a little bit of a different purpose. Certainly business administration comes in handy, but nonprofit management is a field now. It is a degree all its own, and so there are some quality programs throughout the country that children could look into.
And I would say the passion to do it. I mean, that I could say that fire in the belly, we like to say, to really help people, help kids. I think that's first and foremost. And obviously a college education, if you want to be in management at some point. But I think it's just really wanting to do it.
Right. Well, and that's kind of why I asked that, because like I say, having five children, I seem to always have one on their way to college and being around all their friends and whatnot. And a lot of them have gone to maybe the private schools and the Catholic schools and things like that, where I'm sure they do it in public schools too, but I just know that the schools my children went to, they really promote volunteering. And like my son, he's a volunteer at the VA, you know, and he loves that. And, you know, if I said something like him, hey, did you know you could go to college and, you know, be Doug Carter at the Upward Foundation, the director or executive director, executive director. And he'd be like, well, and people don't know that. Yeah. You know, kids going to college don't think, oh, I can get a business degree and, you know, be like Julie Turco with the Easter Seals. They just don't think that. They think they're going to have to go work in an office and sit at their cubicle. And so that's why I kind of wanted you to throw out there how you got there, what it is you do, and what it takes for, you know, a person to be like that. And because there's a lot of good people that we need more people. I mean, when you guys are done, you know, we need people like you to take those positions.
Well, it sounds like you said a key thing about volunteering with your children, because the more your children are exposed to all the different types of organizations there are, all the different needs that are in the community that are not addressed by either government or the free market, you know, that nonprofits really have a vital role to play. And if you expose your kids to that early and often, they'll get the idea that pretty special things go on with these nonprofit partners.
Now, how would if you're gonna interview someone and hire someone, let's put you the interview cap on. Would you be able to tell if someone just wants a job versus a career, and what are some of the qualities you would be looking for to fit your organization? Let's start with Doug.
Well, interesting. I just hired a development director, and you know, I was looking again for that passion, that background. You know, I had candidates who were just looking for a job, and I asked several questions about why they wanted to be involved in our organization. You know, tell me about your qualifications, how they're relevant to this position. And you just got to kind of read it. And I also asked others to be involved in the process, because I think it's important to get different perspectives from other staff members. And, in fact, I had a board member as a part of the process. So in this particular position, it was higher level, and so I was able to look back 10 to 12 years and see this person's professional background. And so that made it a little bit easier.
And Julie, the same question. What would you look for the qualities?
I'm afraid I'm going to have to dodge that question just because it's not part of my role in my current organization, and I don't want whatever my private views and opinions might be to be confused with what I would say on behalf of the agency that I work for.
Right.
Well, that's okay. However, if they have qualities like you, that would be a great answer, and I think that would be excellent. Now, let me ask you this. We probably have about three more minutes before our next break. If you weren't doing what you're doing now, what would you be doing? Doug, go ahead.
Well, I think from my perspective, I would probably be involved in sports in some way, shape, or form. I grew up involved in sports. As I was sharing it during the break, I played high school and college basketball and coached high school basketball. So that's a real passion of mine. And I think if I weren't involved in nonprofit organizations helping people, I'd probably be involved in sports in some way, shape, or form.
Nice. They both have passion attached to it. Sports fans just go sort of berserk with their teams. Okay, Julie, if you weren't doing what you were doing right now, what would you be doing?
I think the change, right now I'm very rooted in the Phoenix community. I love working for a local nonprofit organization that impacts the local children and local families. But I also do have a real interest in international non-governmental organizations and dealing with some of these complex problems, not just within our state or within our country, but internationally. You know, children and families have many universals that they share everywhere, and I'd be really interested in working with some of the international organizations at some point.
Wow, these are two great people, Chris.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun travel too in that. But
that's fantastic. Well, when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Doug Carter, Executive Director for Upward Foundation, and of course Julie Turkle, the Director of Corporate Relations for Easter Seals Southwest Human Development. I should do an abbreviation on that the next time on our break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
And online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is What's Up Phoenix, starring Chris Gray. Chris, do you like how I say that?
you make it sound huge.
It is. Are you kidding?
I'm just the
You're
guy.
You're larger than life, Mr. Chris. I mean, you have quite a background yourself.
I've been around the block a time or two, I guess.
No, you. You know. What do they say in that movie? You are good. I don't know. What was that movie? Robert De Niro or was it?
Yeah, it was Robert
Harsky
De Niro.
And
no, it was Robert De Niro. And,
what was the movie?
Something, I don't know, Analyze That or something.
Or Analyze This.
Yeah, I think it was Analyze This.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then they had the sequel, Analyze That.
Right.
I don't know which one, this or that.
Yeah.
Okay, Chris, you have a question for,
well,
I think, Doug.
I kind of had a question for both Doug and Julie, but I was, I guess during the break, I was trying to see if how people can get more involved, you know, in the different charitable organizations involving children, maybe things like the YMCA or local companies, whether it's Upward or Easter Seals or the YMCA, and things to help the kids, because I don't know, it's crazy. I mean, I still see kids at the viaduct, you know, panhandling. I'm like, how is this possible with all the stuff we have? How do you see kids panhandling at Circle K and at viaducts? Doug, do you have any input for that? I mean, do you know, is there something people can do? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, for example, the United Way, I think you can go to them if you're interested in volunteering and you express, you know, what your interest is in particular. And so I think that's one way. They could also, I mean, with the technology the way it is now, you can get on the Internet and start to do some research and figure out how you can get involved and how you can be a part of the solution. In fact, that's what I'm doing now. I'm here in Phoenix and trying to get rooted in the community and obviously serve as executive director of Upward, but I'd like to do some volunteerism in addition to that. So I've been doing some research on volunteering with seniors, because my philosophy is everybody wants to help kids,
right?
But there's always a void when it comes to seniors. So that's an area that I'm personally trying to get involved with.
You know, what's interesting, as Doug, you were talking about this, you know, with unemployment so high these days and the prospects don't look very, very good for a while, wouldn't it be nice? I mean, what would you tell people? Like, well, if you're unemployed, or if you're employed, but let's say you're unemployed, why not give of your time right now? I mean, Julie, why don't you talk a little bit more about that?
We do actually see that. In fact, when the economy took a downturn, we did see an increase in the number of volunteers who wanted to use their skills to make a difference, whether or not they had a job currently. People want to give, and they pull together in tough times. our organization, I would say, provides some unique opportunities for people, again, with that focus on children birth to five. This is kind of a very specific area of services for children, but one that people connect with on a fairly deep level. However, a lot of the services we provide, of course, there are HIPAA rules. You know, there are not necessarily a ton of opportunities for volunteers to work directly with children. But we do have many opportunities for corporations, for groups, for individuals to get involved volunteering with some of our fundraising events that helps provide the resources to provide the best quality services that we can. So we have two signature events now every year. We have Easter Seals Walk With Me in early May. So you can go to walkwithme.org and look for the Phoenix event. That website will be open soon for spring. And that's something that anybody can participate in. I mean, we have families, again, with their children in the strollers, in the wagons, all the way through the corporate CEOs that come out, and everybody comes together to make a difference. So that's a great way to volunteer and to make an impact, you know, for children, especially in this case, for children with disabilities. But also supporting an event like Portraits of Opportunity as a fundraiser, this money gets used where most needed within our agency. It helps us to provide the top quality services that we provide and support programs as needed. So those committees are always looking for volunteers. We do have those planning committees where people can stay and help, you know, attend meetings once a month and help us plan those events and really get to meet the families who are our ambassadors, for example, who are directly impacted. What we do with both of these events is we ask families that we have served to tell their stories so that people can really understand what their children have faced. And we use that as a really nice opportunity to tell a little bit more about the services that are available through the successes that we've had with these families.
That's excellent. So you have seen an increase on that, Doug, yourself. Have you seen with the way the economy is, people have more time to give?
Absolutely. And we're kind of in the same boat as Easter Seals in that, you know, our services are so specialized. I mean, we have therapists and they perform one-on-one therapy. Our special needs school, we have special needs teachers that work with the kids. So we don't have a lot of volunteer opportunities outside of group activities. So we've had some of those, and Chris and I, we were talking at the break a little bit about getting kids involved, and we do have a couple of high schools that actually volunteer at Upward. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. a good way for them to see you know, what's happening in our organization and how special they can be by being a volunteer. So.
Can I jump in on that one, too? One thing that we've really seen an increase in these last few years, too, are outside organizations organizing their own fundraisers to benefit Easter Seals Southwest Human Development. Mm-hmm. I know that they do this for other organizations mm-hmm. as well. So if somebody is looking for a volunteer opportunity, they can certainly create one. If they want to host a 5K or a poker tournament or a golf tournament or whatever activity appeals to a particular group, all of those things can be done as fundraisers to benefit the nonprofit that they're close to.
How about signing up a company to everybody donates $5 a check or whatever. Mm-hmm. Do the Easter Seals on the Upward?
Well, I can say that we've got a partnership with the Tech Group, and it's been a long-standing partnership, and they come over to our facilities. I should mention we've got two facilities, one in Phoenix and one in Glendale, and they do work at the facility kind of as a team, kind of a team building project for them. But then they've also donated significant dollars to us, undesignated dollars, to support our mission. So there are companies that do that, and Tech Group's one for us.
So, you know, and not to make it all about the money and whatnot, but in a down economy, you know, one of the, at any time, but in just saying this because it is a down economy and people have more time, you know, you could look at it like, you know, volunteering is one of the best ways to land a job, I think, because you're already there, you're a volunteer, especially if you're a college student and you're a volunteer, you know, and you're going to college in a similar field or something that revolves around that a little bit. I mean, your next step is an employee getting a paycheck. So, you know, and maybe not even just for college students, but I think volunteering is a really good way to get around something to become employed. Plus, that looks good on your resume when you're applying somewhere else. You know what? I'm a volunteer over here at Upward, and I'm a volunteer over because you have nothing but hours when you're currently unemployed.
I think there's another, in addition to that, Chris, I think from a mindset standpoint, too, is there's so many people depressed out there these days, which, you know, there's external circumstances that could lead to that. However, I think the best therapy is to get out there and maintain that positive attitude. And what a great way, working with kids or families or adults, and to set the example under any outwardly or external circumstance, you can still have a choice to maintain a positive frame of mind and choose to be happy. Julie, what would you say about that?
Absolutely. I mean, it's about relationships, isn't it, at the end
right,
of the day?
Right.
So any opportunity to make a positive contribution, to form new relationships, to deepen the relationships you have, and to do something that's important to you, certainly is going to put you in a better mindset.
And I think to comment a little further on what you just said, Dave, talking about, you know, your NLP, your neuro-linguistic schools and things that you give, and the positive motivation, positive thinking, positive thoughts. But if you're unemployed or you're maybe not where you're at in life, get around somebody who truly needs, you know, somebody that, I mean, like my grandmother lost both her legs. So, you know, when I was growing up and helping her and helping my mom and dad take care of her, you know, every time I would pick her up and carry her to where she needed to go or what she needed to do, I was like, God, you know, I'm so thankful I have both my legs. Because you cannot. So, I mean, if you think you got it really bad, and there are a lot of people that have it bad, you know, I'm not saying, I just mean, but if you think you have it really bad, get around somebody who really has it really bad and could use a volunteer, you know, maybe your neighbor, you know, you notice their house needs, their yard needs upkeeping, and maybe, you know, you knock on their door, maybe you might just save their life. I don't know. Doug, you look
Yeah, like, no, I do think, you know, volunteerism is mutually beneficial. I mean, I think obviously the organization gets something out of it, but also the individual who's volunteering. It makes you feel good. And, you know, I know day one when I stepped on Upwards campus that, you know, it just made me feel good about what I was doing because of the compassion of the employees, the culture, and the work that we're doing on a daily basis to help people.
Right. Yeah, I think most people, when you get around folks that need and you start helping people, and seeing that how appreciative those people are for the smallest of things. You know, my son comes home every day with a new story from VA, you know, and it's just amazing that even he knows at 14 years old, you know, he does this small thing. He points at a sign and says, oh, sir, it's just right here. It's just around the hall. And the guy goes, oh, I didn't see the sign, you know. It's very gratifying. And if you're down, maybe go help somebody else and it might help yourself in turn.
I think it would. And also, there's another element to this, not just helping others that, you know, seem to be less fortunate than yourself, but also hanging around other volunteers of like mindset and people in the organization.
Right.
That is critical. A lot of people, you may notice, there's a concept called misery loves company. So you hear people, you know, very negative, but that's the drama in their life. That what keeps them going, it seems. But it's very toxic. It doesn't work very well. Try getting out, hanging around with other similar mindset people, people that are looking up, upward.
There you go.
And but, you know, looking in a way that makes life fulfilling. And when I see both Julie and Doug, here's two people that really, I bet on your mind quite a bit, is really you have fulfilling jobs that you're satisfied, that it's not meaningless, like a lot of people have meaningless jobs and they can't stand working, but I bet you go to work every morning with a smile on your face. Who wants to comment on that?
Well, I certainly do, and you know we've got big plans at Upward for expansion and growth, and I think about it all the time in terms of, you know, where we're going to be in the next 5 to 7 years, and I get excited about it, and I try to convey that to our staff because it is a tough time, and optimism is really important, and we're headed to a good place, so I'm very thankful to have this opportunity.
And Julie, your comments.
I work with some extraordinary colleagues. And it is absolutely gratifying to know the work that we're doing, obviously serving children and families, but also to have the opportunity to learn from so many highly qualified, extraordinarily intelligent, passionate, capable people that I'm surrounded by every day. So, yeah, absolutely a privilege to be in their company.
Wow, I want an application. How about you, Chris? That sounds great. But when we come back from our break, we'll continue Our discussion with Julie Turco and Doug Carter will be right back.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today. 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerenbaum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is What's Up, Phoenix, starring Chris Gray, the first Monday of the month from 2:30 to 4. Chris, these are great people, great guests, inspirational. I think that the world needs people like Doug and Julie because they are inspirational to show that things can be done despite your own self. Woes, I guess we could say.
You know, and before the break, you were saying that, you know, everybody likes to or would like to get up and happy and ready and roaring for work and get to work and be so fulfilled and things like that. And, you know, that's actually why I started this show. Not that I was completely unfulfilled in life because, I mean, I got a great family. You know, I have five kids, a wife, 27 years. And I got a great job. I work with Suburban Mortgage. I'm a mortgage banker, actually, for a job, for a living. But, you know, I wanted to reach out and do more for the community. I'm a member of the Phoenix Rotary, and that's a lot of charity work and whatnot. And and that got me thinking of it more. And I'm like, you know, what can I do? And so then I started the What's Up Phoenix show. And one of my biggest goals is to reach out to people in Phoenix and in Arizona and wherever we can reach to be better people, to do more for the community, get involved in what, you know, in what it takes to make it a better community. Don't just sit there and gripe about your neighbor's kids or whatever, you know, do something, get involved, be a part. You know, it doesn't have to be your job, especially right now when people aren't working all the hours they used to work. Maybe, you know, your job's a little slower. There's plenty of people unemployed and underemployed and everything else. So now is a perfect time, again, like we were saying earlier, get out, volunteer, go do something to be a part of where you live. Don't just be, you know, part of the painting, you know, make the painting, you know.
Create a masterpiece.
Exactly.
So, a masterpiece of your life.
So there you have it. That's my...
That is his editorial for today, and that was Chris Gray. Now, hey, that rhymed. Your editorial for today with Chris Gray.
Yeah, for a deal you should miss, come see Chris.
Yeah.
My friends say that to me all the time. I'm like, man, that is lame.
I like it. That is very good. We're going to use that from now on. Now, on the break, we were talking about a couple things. One is... you know, having partnerships with other groups. How tough is it right now with the economy for fundraising and also get partnerships going, Julie?
Well, again, just to remind everybody that I'm working specifically with corporate partners. And certainly when the economy first took its hit, everything was in uproar. You know, lots of community giving programs were frozen or shut down as companies were readjusting to the new economic realities. But I have to say, in the last several years, we have seen them, you know, they've made adjustments, they've made their layoffs, they've done what they've needed to do financially to survive. And those companies that are coming back kind of stronger, sort of leaner and meaner, are definitely giving back to the community again. Our events, our signature events that I mentioned before, were actually started in 2009. And we looked at each other after the fact and said, what were we thinking? You know, could we have started this at a worst possible time? But the fact is, we have shown growth year over year for both of them because the community has really rallied to support the important work that underpins, you know, our work with very young children. So I have to say, I'm finding the community to be as generous as ever, and it's really about telling the story, letting people understand what's at stake, and we've gotten a very positive response.
Nice. How about you, Doug? What have you noticed?
Well, at Upward, we're pretty fortunate in that we've got a fairly significant earned income streams and from both the government as well as the school districts. So from that perspective, we're pretty fortunate. However, you know, we also know that could go away. And that we have to diversify our funding base. So that's one of the reasons we went out and recently hired a development director so that we can go after some of the corporations, foundations, and individuals to help support our mission. And then we're also looking, you know, in the future towards a capital campaign. We're very optimistic because we think we've got a great mission and do good work, and people will invest in that.
So where you guys would see the biggest benefit from then really is corporate sponsorship, having the huge corporations put something together for their employees' payrolls with, like I was saying a little bit earlier, like small contributions from each person's pay. And maybe that could be their volunteerism, you know, their end of the spectrum would be to give 5 or 10 or 20 bucks a paycheck. So then the corporation write you guys a check? Is that where you're seeing most of your...
That's part of... that's one form of corporate giving. And, you know, for example, we're a member of Community Health Charities. And Community Health Charities runs employee giving campaigns just like that for member organizations. So it's much like United Way, where employees have a choice of, you know, designating a certain amount per paycheck that gets passed through onto the nonprofit. But companies can get involved with us in all kinds of ways. I mean, as I mentioned before, it could be third-party fundraising. They could do their own fundraising for us. They could get a team out for Walk With Me, a corporate team. They could do corporate sponsorship, but they also are very generous with corporate grants as well. A lot of times now, I think companies are really bringing employees together around, you know, team building. And nonprofits can play a really big role in that because as people work side by side for a common cause, it really does bring people together within the organization, within the company. So there's a whole menu of options for companies to get involved with us. But let's not discount individual giving at all as well. You know, it's never been easier to donate online. You know, everybody's got a website and a secure website to make donations online. For us, it's swhd.org. You can make a donation that's secure, and you've done your part on a fundraising level. If that's the type of contribution that you would want to make. I think the employee giving campaigns that you mentioned before are really a great way to budget your giving. You know, you don't necessarily miss a dollar or two per paycheck, but it's something you can spread out. So really, there are as many solutions as there are individuals, and I encourage anybody who's looking for the right fit to contact the organization that they're interested in to really see what makes sense for them, what types of opportunities that nonprofit may have, what kinds of things the donor or the volunteer is interested in, and we'll work with them to come up with the right opportunity.
Do you guys do anything like the donating the cars that you no longer have a use for? I mean, do people do that? I mean,
We haven't. We've been contacted by some of the companies that handle those, but that isn't something that we've done.
So you guys don't do that?
We haven't in the past. Have you?
Now, one of our donors donated a boat recently this summer, so we're trying to
a
move this boat.
A boat or a yacht?
Whatever $15,000 boat's going to be.
That's a boat.
So he donated it, and we're trying to sell it, basically.
Really?
Yeah. Let's put it on Craigslist and some other places and see if we can.
So you'll accept those type of things?
Yeah. It's kind of unusual, I think. I mean, I was 30 days into the job, and this boat shows up in the parking lot, but you know.
Right.
Beggars can't be choosy, I suppose.
Maybe have some sort of raffle, you know, have people buy raffle tickets for a year or something, and then at the end of the year,
cool.
At Christmas, raffle it off.
Well, we're gonna wait. Right now we're trying to get it sold to one individual, but we'll see if it doesn't move. We'll have to get creative, I guess.
Well, that's sort of cool. Now, let me ask you this. Is there a profile of what you would consider a great partner? Some of the attributes, the qualities. So let's start with you, Doug.
I think similar mission. I think obviously it'd be great to have an organization that's healthy, strong balance sheet that we could work with. An organization that probably has different funders so that we don't have, you know, the same foundations, corporations, and individuals funding an organization. I think that would be a good start.
So how does that work? And then we'll get to Julie's comments on that. But you're looking for partnerships. Are they considered like sponsors? Are there certain requirements to do certain activities to fund certain amount of money? How does it work with your company?
Well, I'll give you an example. We recently secured, probably less of a partnership as it was more of a merger with the Glendale Family Development Center. And that was a couple of years ago. And they had a different mission than we had, so there were some challenges around that. Now we're offering outpatient pediatric therapy at that site. And then one of the bigger challenges was they were getting funded by the United Way. We were getting funded by the United Way. We had similar funders. And generally when that happens, one goes, you know, they go away. They say, we're not going to keep funding both, you know, organizations at the same level, even though you're now one. You've merged.
Oh.
So that can be a challenge as you start talking about mergers and acquisitions, especially in nonprofits, because in this environment, you know, funders are looking for people to partner and to merge and not to be duplicating services.
Makes sense. Now, Julie, same question, a profile of what would be a great partner, and is that considered the same as a sponsor of some type?
Right. So when you say partner, it could be an individual partner, it could be an organizational partner, and on some level, one thing that's ideal in both are people that really take the time to understand the work and really understand the children that we serve, the challenges they face, and the families that are trying to do their best for these children. You know, I think that a lot of times companies get involved with projects and they may or may not really understand where their money goes. You know, a lot of times fundraising events, you know, people get involved because their friend got them involved, and it's really exciting to, you know, all kind of be working on the same team. But the folks that really stay with an organization are the ones who have a personal connection to the mission and the work that's taking place, the transformation in children's lives. And so some of our best partners are really the ones that have worked side by side with us over a long period of time. They understand where the money goes intimately, which I think is really important. I think it's really important for donors to know
exactly
the good that their money is
going,
doing. Exactly. Right? So they understand the financial side, but they really understand the impact side. They understand how that money translates into positive change.
That makes sense. Same with you, Doug?
Mm-hmm. Yep, same.
Yeah.
I echo that, Julie.
Yeah. That was well said. That makes total sense.
Yeah, I like to know where my donation goes. You like people like to see the effect. People like to they want to get the warm and fuzzy feeling, and I don't blame them because they want to help and they want to know that their money went for a good cause. And actually, everybody wants to know where their money goes for whatever it goes. So if you're donating money, you certainly want to know where it went.
That's why if someone expresses an interest in Upward, I'd really try to get them on campus, one of our two campuses, so they can really see what we do firsthand and see the staff working with the kids and really get a sense of what we're all about.
How many offices or branches?
We've got two right now.
So where are those at?
We've got one in Glendale, as I mentioned earlier, right off 59th and Northern, and then we've got one on 63rd and 7th Street. And I've been in Phoenix now for 4 months, and I finally got the difference between 7th Street and 7th Avenue and, central, and the Central Divider. So, but, yeah, it's our other locations on 7th Street.
It's laid out pretty nice, though, Phoenix, right?
Yeah, it's laid out nice. People just have to tell you up front that, you know, you can be driving down 7th Avenue and think, wow, okay, and, you know, if you're just visiting or whatever, and you're trying to hit a destination on 7th Street, so just let people know in advance that there's a difference between the two.
Well, I went to Milwaukee once for On Business, and I got lost every time. In fact, it was in August, and I pulled up to this place to park, and it said, no parking between November and April. I've never heard of something like that. No parking between November and April, but I go,
well,
what's
snow.
That about?
It's called snow.
I know. I'm from California. It's like, snow?
Yeah,
I've never heard of that.
All the bridges back east are astronomical. I mean, everywhere you go.
That'd be some parking ticket if you were there from November to April. Man, how much would that be? Anyway, but when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with two great in-studio guests. We have Julie Turco, Director of Corporate Relations for Easter Seals Southwest Human Development, and Doug Carter. That's quite a name, isn't it? Doug Carter, Executive Director for Upward Foundation. And this is Chris Gray. This isn't Chris Gray. I'm Dave Isaac, but you're Chris Gray. This is What's Up Phoenix. We'll be right back.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is What's Up Phoenix, starring Chris Gray. Chris?
Hello, you, David.
You That was funny. He said hello. The show's almost over, and now he's saying hello. What's up with that? See? What's up, Phoenix?
I was just kindly teasing.
I know. Chris is quite a teaser. Anyway, we had two great in-studio guests.
Julie Turkle. I want to say daughter of Marty Turkle, the great goalie that used to be on Dallas, but no, I can't say that because we don't know that.
Someone would have some explaining to do.
Yeah. And we got them on line one. This is a surprise. What's up your life or something? Anyway, Julie Turkle, Director of Corporate Relations for Easter Seals Southwest Human Development, and Doug Carter, Executive Director, Upward Foundation. So we were talking about developing partnerships. Now, how much of it, I think, Julie, it's a big part of your job, if not the biggest part of your job, and Doug, is both for both. Describe what it's like each day getting up. How do you find partners? What do you do? Do they come to you? Do you go to them? Julie?
A lot of times we follow the relationships. You know, I don't know if you find this, Doug, but 6 degrees of separation is a pretty familiar process for us. Who do we think has an interest in this work? What are they already involved with? Would this be a good fit? Would they accept an invitation, as you were saying, to come for a tour, for example, to learn more about the organization, to learn more about the agency, to meet our leadership? But we really take our time because I might be speaking for both of us in this regard. Nonprofits really thrive on long-term relationships. We're not just about getting donors in the door for the short term. We really want to get to know the people who have an interest, in our case, in early childhood, and to establish trust, establish rapport, establish the best fit for their interests and their goals and what they're looking to accomplish through their philanthropy, and see what opportunities we have that can best match that, or if we can create opportunities together that would really fulfill that relationship.
So what's the process? I mean, do you send a letter out first, or is it referral-based? Do you do cold calling? How does that work?
It really depends. I would say our greatest successes are when there is a relationship or a referral because people know what other people are interested in. But we're not above cold calling and just seeing who responds, you know, who is interested in this. I would say our constituencies, our folks that become our donors and our volunteers and our friends, are very self-selecting. So a lot of our job, I think, is to put the communication out there to say who we are and what we do and to let it be known that we hold ourselves to high standards and best practices in early childhood. And those who have an affinity for that, those who respond to that, for those folks that, you know, find that to be a meaningful investment of their time and their resources, they will come to us.
And that was my intent for having yourself, Julie, and Doug on the show, was so that we can get the word out there of who you guys are and that your organizations do exist. And we'd like for folks to try and help in any way that they can, especially the large corporations, because now more than ever, places like Easter Seals and Upward Foundation could really use corporate sponsorship. But anyway.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And if it's okay, I just wanted to give our number so that if there's someone interested in contributing or volunteering, they can certainly call the Upward Foundation at 602-279-5801. And that's the way to get connected to us.
And the .com, can you give us your .com
thing?
Sure.
It's upwardfoundation.org.
So. Oh, that's easy enough.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, .org. Usually, I think the nonprofits usually have .org.
Yep.
They like that. And now you have an event coming up. Well, before you do that, the same question for you, Doug. We still have a few minutes. You know, how do you go about getting partners?
Yeah, I think it's building relationships. I mean, we're looking for corporate partners. Again, I gave the tech group earlier as a great example of a corporation that not only gives dollars, but they give time. And it's mutually beneficial because it's team building for them. But I'm also, shortly after I got here, I did a little bit of research and tried to find organizations that had a similar mission to ours. In fact, Gompers is one of them. And so I called their executive director and said, hey, I'd like to tour your site, talk about, you know, what our similarities are, and see if there's ways that we can work together. So that's kind of just the way I would approach it, or continue to approach it.
Nice. Now tell us about your event this Friday, right?
Yep, Broadway Under the Stars, exciting event. Dave, I expect you to be there. If you
all
don't
right,
have
Friday?
A sports this Friday, take up your Friday evening.
All righty.
Chris, you as well, you can certainly come. It's a great event.
We'll sing and dance, right,
yeah.
Chris?
Yeah. I'll dance, maybe. Yeah, you could sing.
But yeah, so it's we've got a number of corporate sponsorships, a number of individuals who've purchased tickets. One of the things that I'm really proud of is our own staff became a sponsorship this year for the first time. So we talked about staff giving shortly after I got there. I gave them an opportunity to give, and we the staff responded and secured a sponsorship as well. So it's going to be a fun night, and sounds like the weather's going to cooperate, so we're looking forward to it. And if you're interested in buying tickets, you could certainly call our committee chair. And her name, again, is Billy Eggleston, and she can be reached at 623-915-3534.
How much are tickets?
$40.
Well, that's fair enough. And how many people do you expect?
We're hoping 200.
Oh, that's nice.
So we'll have a captive audience there, and we're going to have an opportunity to share our mission, and we're going to have a client speak, her mother speak. And so hopefully we'll do well.
And next time we'll have Chris Gray as the MC.
No.
All right. What's up, Phoenix? All right. And Julie, you got that your event coming up. Describe that again.
We do. We have our Portraits of Opportunity photography exhibit and fundraiser coming up October 20th. Tickets are available online at swhd.org. And we are looking forward to, likewise, about 200 people coming out. It is a cocktail reception and open house, not a formal program, because we really want folks to come and enjoy the photography, read the family stories, and to really have their hearts touched by the children that we're profiling here in our community.
And that's important, right, Doug and Julie, to communicate how you are touching people's hearts and souls.
And I think there's no better way than having the client themselves talk about how the organization has impacted them. And that's, you know, I shared earlier the story of going to lunch with that mother who said, you know, I was a young mother and my child was just diagnosed with cerebral palsy and I didn't know where to turn. And that's where Upward stepped in. And so on Friday, what you'll see is a similar story. We're going to have a client's mother speak and the client will be there and they'll just talk about what Upward has meant to them.
Hey, and I just like to say I really appreciate you guys coming and talking on the show, and I know we put you on the spot with a couple of questions. That really wasn't the intent. The intent is so that folks in the community know who you are and know that you're there, and if they have the ability and the desire, they now know who to call and who to get in touch with so that they can do their part. And I appreciate having you at the show.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. And
you're welcome. You're really on both sides. I mean, not just volunteer, but people that need your services, too. Very, very important. So real quick, we have about 40 seconds left. Phone number to get in touch with your organization or you.
Right. One thing I want to encourage people to see online, if they are parents of very young children and they have questions, we have a Birth to Five helpline as a resource for them. So you can get that number on our website, or you can call our agency directly at 602-226-5976.
And Doug, your number or website?
Website is upwardfoundation.org, www.upwardfoundation.org, and the phone number is 602-279-5801.
Thank you both. Julie Turco, Director of Corporate Relations for Easter Seals Southwest Human Development, and Doug Carter, Executive Director, Upward Foundation. Chris Gray, thank you. See you next month. This is What's Up Phoenix. We'll see everyone tomorrow.